Welcome to the Unified Endurance Podcast.
I'm not close enough. Go.
Rob Jones, can you just start a podcast normally for once?
I do. Well, this is why people stay engaged.
Your friends are in the room and you're showing off.
They're here for the introduction, not really the meat and bones of what we're talking about.
True, true. Introduction this week to our show with Zoe Van Potaka, who is our coach over in New Zealand.
Yep.
You actually knew her long before I did. Long-time friend of the show, but more of a long-time friend of Rob Jones.
Yeah, well, I'd start with my wife, actually. We took her hiking in Wadi Shoka years and years and years ago. I think before even maybe we had joined Dinner Fight.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now look at her.
Wow. Made me think back on that.
You're both coaching for Dinner Fight Endurance. Yeah, you weren't here for this one, but I have a chat with Zoe around all things going on over in New Zealand, and she shares some quite cool things around her come back to running journey post-pregnancy as well. So good main show coming up today. Mate, we're fresh off a Track Tuesday. Of course, you jumped in with my set.
One mile efforts. And I thought I had you. I thought I'll get a lap in before you tied your shoelaces. I ran off and you caught me.
I gave you a lap.
On rep 4.
I gave you a lap.
You came past me faster than you definitely ran the last rep.
Rocket X's. Look at my last rep, huh? It's there. And you're not doing Dubai Creek Striders on the weekend.
No. Should we talk about the race that just happened at the weekend?
You didn't do Burj to Burj. But you were there on two wheels, and you'll also be at DCS on two wheels.
I will. Yeah, I'm supporting both those races. It was 4,000 people. What do we have? 35 runners running? Yeah, we're calling it 35. 35.
Can't remember. He was still drunk from Ed Sheeran.
35 Inner Fight Endurance runners. I'd say 50% of them had been to Ed Sheeran the night before, and maybe 50% of them got PBs. So I'm not sure how that works. Really?
Sure. There's a song for that. Thoughts on the course?
I mean, it's down Beach Road. You do a U-turn, run back, and then run into Burj Park. It's a very straight course. It's a very flat course. There's a tasty little bridge incline with a K and a half to go. And aside from that, there's one other bridge. So it was very, very straightforward.
Thoughts on the sustainable water bottle system?
No comment.
Come on.
Not very sustainable.
I'm chatting with Otten Thursday, so I'll let him know.
I mean,
I love sending Luke Nolan messages.
For context, they had a grand idea to remove half of the water stations and use electrolyte stations. But instead of putting them in cups, they put them in 250ml plastic flasks, like the Solomon flasks you get, but a different brand. And brand those flasks up, which is a great idea in theory if people would keep those flasks. But they were discarded everywhere. Mm. Everywhere.
Okay.
It was, littered with empty flasks. I guess they can't use them again, so I don't know what they're going to do.
Why? Not COVID anymore? Get them in a dishwasher?
Maybe.
Ready for next
year?
Think
that'll happen?
I don't know.
We'll see. Speak to the organisers.
Will you do it next year? Would you be excited to run it next year?
I really enjoyed supporting it, actually.
Okay.
I liked seeing all of our runners come up and over that hill, and all of them ran up and over that final hill with a K to go. Even the guys that were at the back of the pack that maybe would take a bit more time and would adopt a walk-run strategy, they all came running over the hill, which was brilliant to see.
One also came running over the hill, shouting something at you.
So, I've got the message here that there was somebody called, I found her name, Nicole. Nicole was running over the top of the hill, and as I was shouting, "You've got a K to go," cheering on runners, she was shouted back, "I'm just listening to your podcast." So she was, whilst most people would listen to like heavy rap trance music to get themselves fired up for the final K, she was listening to us.
It's better than Taylor Swift.
So we are half marathon approved. Excellent. Better than Taylor Swift, better than Ed Sheeran. The Inner Fight Endurance podcast will get you through your half marathon.
Amazing. Well, thanks, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole. And she'll listen to this show as well. So she's got a shout out.
Of course. Good. And this weekend is DCS, as we just said. Iconic half.
Very, very different half marathon route from last week.
Yes. So some bridges, some curbs, some people.
some very tight spaces. This is a good one to run, I think.
Good atmosphere.
Lots of people are excited about this. You're running it as well.
I'm going to run, yeah.
What's your goal for this?
I will find whoever's our quickest and just sit on their shoulder and yell things into their ear. It's probably going to be Cathal. So
I told Cathy you're running with him and he went, but he's faster than me, isn't he? He went, no, you'll get him.
I'll bring him a dumbbell.
So yeah. Share a K each and have just fun. Rotate.
It's my long run for Xterra, which partnered with my current swim training with you. We should be pretty close coming out of the water, I think.
We'll see. As long as there's no paddles involved. I can't figure out these paddles. I disagree with them.
You have 5 weeks if you want to race Xterra with us. Xterra Oman, March the 3rd. Mm-hmm. We welcome you.
Feel free to join our swim sessions on a Monday.
Yes. Good. Right. Let's get into the main show. You're not going to intro it like normal.
Oh, right. No. We've introed it. You said it at the start. You've done it in reverse order.
Here is Zoe from Innerfight New Zealand.
Yes.
You're in summertime, right? You're coming to the end of summer.
No, surely not. It's only the beginning of summer.
Nah, it's coming to the end.
Nah, February actually for us is the best month. So it's like the driest and the warmest usually. So we can stretch it out. We can stretch out summer until at least April, I reckon.
And it's coincided quite nicely with you returning to running. We're going to chat to you a bit about your coaching, but let's go to your running first.
Yep. So I suppose you're right. I've timed that well, and it was very nice to be to have a winter baby, so that by the time summer came around, I was 7 to 8 months postpartum, and I could really kind of get back into it. So yeah, good timing. But I suppose the year before that, I was fully pregnant, and that's also not that fun when you're in the heat with a full belly.
Yeah. And how have you felt now getting back to full swing training after obviously the pregnancy, but that also coincided with having basically a year off or a bit more off
your normal training
and running schedule? You feeling fresh or has it been a bit of a mission?
I would say a bit of both. So I had talked about a little bit of this with Steph in our podcast about returning to running postpartum, but I think the thing that surprised me most was that I managed to get back into running a lot sooner and feel good doing it a lot sooner than I thought. I think I was very conservative in thinking that it was going to be hard and it was going to take a while. So my mindset was already okay with needing time and being patient. And I think that was the key in then being surprised that I got there a little bit faster than predicted, because I really took my time in those really early months to take things one step at a time and very slowly and just do what felt good and stop when it didn't feel good, for me to then be where I am now, because I have no issues. Whereas I could say a couple of people that I'm friends with went into it a bit too soon and now have all of these injuries that they're carrying on, and the injuries are making them stay out of running for longer because they're continual and they can't quite get back on that train.
And at the same time, probably build a bad relationship with running.
Absolutely.
Because you've always had a very positive one with running, right?
Yes. Yep. And I've had injuries before and had to have time off and had to take things easy and everything like that. And for me, running is a lot to do with my mental health. So going out and running helps me feel better inside and out. But I think taking the time to look after your body in other ways when it isn't at full capacity then means that you can use it at full capacity a lot sooner and a lot better than what you would if you're just carrying on an injury or carrying on running when it doesn't feel good and lifting when it doesn't feel right, you know, like listening to it definitely helps.
I love that. So instead of cracking on for like 2 months at 70%, you take a few weeks off and then you can have half months at 100%.
Absolutely. And I was just talking to one of my community members about that the other day, because she's got possible shin splints and maybe some hairline fractures happening. And she was building up for the Tarawera 50, which is in 5 weeks. So physio's like, absolutely not. And she goes, it's okay. I'm relaxing. I'm swimming. I'm doing a bit of biking if it feels fine. I can do a 50 in 6 months' time, and I'm happy with that because I'm happy with where I am or where I was when I was running. So I know that I can continue that once my injuries subside.
Yeah. So you make it sound easy. Just have a baby, be happy about it, take time off, and then come back and get back to smashing the 50Ks. What's been hard? There must have been some obstacles in there.
I think a lot of people think that that's just what has happened as well. And I did have a friend message me the other day and just go, where did you pop that 24Ks out? Like, how did you just do that? And I was just like, well, I'm just do it. I had progressively trained to be able to do that, but that was my max. And she was like, I just didn't. She said sorry afterwards, but she was just kind of saying, like, what you see isn't actually everything that someone does, right?
No.
It looks like I've bounced back a lot, but people who have talked to me in the last 6 months know that I've had weeks where I haven't felt that great. Weeks where I go to run and my energy is low, or I've had, you know, 5 wake-ups in the night because of the baby. And I turn up to track and I'm a bit of a, you know, like a sack of bones rather than anything else. So there are definitely times where it ebbs and flows. And I think that happens to anyone in any training. Nothing is linear. So why are we expecting ourselves to just keep going up this smooth ramp? It doesn't happen like that. There's so many ups and downs due to life, due to our well-being, due to injuries, due to everything else, that we can't expect that. So, yeah, I think that was the biggest learning curve for me, was there were times where I wasn't feeling that great. I had a really good 24K run, and then 3 weeks later I did a 21K run, and my mindset starting felt fine, but like 2 minutes in, hating it, hated the hills. I enjoyed the downhills because I always do, but didn't like going up them. Didn't really enjoy it until the last couple of Ks. And then there was a sign and it was like 2 Ks to go. And I thought there was only 1K. And I was like, well, come on, you know? So it's just, it was just a race that I was just like, that one's in the bin. I don't even want to talk about it because it wasn't that fun for me. So you're going to have times like that as well. And I think you just have to accept that and go, cool, that was the average time. Let's move on and get on to the next thing.
Did you share a little bit more into what you were, or how you dealt with that situation there then? You'd gone from a run where you're feeling on top of the world to a run where you're feeling, as you said, in the bin. How do you talk yourself through that?
Well, I suppose it's like pain, right? When we're in pain, we should accept it, feel it, then let it go. So, when you're disappointed or frustrated, you should do the same. You should go, okay, I'm feeling frustrated. This is disappointing. I'm not running. I'm walking instead. That's fine. I'm just going to have to do that today. And I'm just going to have to go, right, I went out there. I had 21Ks on my legs. It was slow. It was part walking. But it's not the end of the world. And I can be better the next time. What can I do differently next time to set me up for more success?
Accept it, feel it, and then let it go.
Yeah.
You made that one sound easy as well.
It's all just insight. You have to, I suppose, when you're saying you make it sound easy, you just have to be self-reflective. And I think that's the biggest thing that I like to share with my athletes is, why are you feeling that way? How are you feeling that way? What can you do about it? Because there's only so much that you can share or say as a coach. And then as an athlete, you have to then do the action, make the decisions, feel a different way, have that positive self-talk, let go of those negative feelings. yeah, etc. It's self-reflection.
And I'd imagine when you were, probably with you, I can though, but not for everybody. When you were pregnant, you're probably visualizing the person that you're going to be post-pregnancy in your postpartum phase, and how the what sort of runner and what sort of coach you want to be on your way back. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think part of that as well is if you were visualizing that you're going to come back and be the top runner in your region and doing certain times for certain distances, it, suddenly when that doesn't happen, it becomes a bit harder to accept. Whereas if you're visualizing yourself being, as you said, positive, being able to get over obstacles, then it actually doesn't matter what the outcome are of your racing or training. It's how you react to it.
Yes, exactly. And it is understanding your limitations, and it is knowing how to work around them. So for me, for the Tarawera 50K, I had to defer that last year because I was pregnant. I did think when I was about 2 months pregnant that I would run it at 5 months pregnant, but that was just a little bit silly. So I deferred that, and that's what I have this year. But that year is the year that I would have loved to have done it and broken a PB and done really well in my age group and in my gender. Mm. So going into that this year, I have that at the back of my mind, and that's my athlete brain going, you've actually recovered, like, well, you've built a new base, you've learnt about this body of yours and its new phase, and you could probably do that. But yeah, then I have my other brain, which is saying, actually, let's just take it easy because you can do that next year. It doesn't have to be this year, even though that little athlete brain there is telling you that you probably could. So it's kind of, yeah, trying to balance those two out.
Yeah. And do you think that's part of acceptance, isn't it? Understanding that there's more races to come and how insignificant your day is compared to the whole big wide world out there.
Yes. And I think the reason why us as a collective, why we get so hung up on a time and a race is because we invest so much into it. We pour so much energy into it, so that when we don't quite hit the bar of where we want to be in it, that's pretty deflating.
Mm.
And that is a hard thing to work around. Yeah.
Mm. Expectation. That's the problem, isn't it?
Here we are telling people, like, you can push harder than you think.
Yeah.
So it can be quite contradictory, and you have to kind of find that medium.
I think yes, but not if the expectations are built around reacting, how you react mentally to situations rather than how you get on physically.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit the nail on the head there.
Mm. Mm. It's also been your first year of coaching.
Yep.
You've taken people to marathons. You've taken people to ultras. You've probably, tick boxes that coaches want to tick over 10 years, let alone over their first year of coaching. And even as we're describing this, you're smiling your face off.
Yeah.
Which you should be. You should be really proud of your first year. What's been some of the highlights in your first year of coaching?
Oh, highlights. Good question. I honestly think my first highlight is the community that I've created, because I think that's first and foremost when it comes to offering people a service, especially something around moving our bodies, is that the community that you create around what you're offering is inclusive, it's supportive, it's encouraging, but it's also a community that's going to push you and challenge you. And yeah, it's life-changing, I think. And a lot of people kind of share that with me who are in the community or have been in the community or want to come back in, and they just go, I love it, or I miss it, and this part is really cool about the community, and I love that we can do that, and I love our chats afterwards. And I think that's what is the base of what I've done this year. My biggest highlight is that community and the people that have come in, and I have them to thank for it as well, because they have helped build what I've done this year, and I obviously couldn't have done it without them. So, yeah. They're number one.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at it. You've always built a community around yourself. I don't know if you noticed that. You know, obviously you were a teacher in your past life, but I remember when you were living here and you had the Ramsey Street community. your neighbours, and you even, that was even how you got your first bike, wasn't it? A neighbour gave you, gave the, you dinosaur. The dinosaur.
Yeah, that's great.
You've always been good at doing it. It's just now it's your job, and you're doing it for people where you're from, which, yeah, it's not too surprising you've done it so successfully. Anything else on your highlights? What scared you the most in your first year of coaching?
What scared me the most? I think what scared me the most was probably the fear of rejection, of someone coming along and being like, oh, yeah, you're not for me. I'd rather go somewhere else. And I think that's hard for anyone in any part of their life is that kind of rejection. And it's just going and sitting down and going, okay, why did they say that? Or why did they think that? And have they said that because my values don't sit with them, or vice versa? And if that's the case, then totally fair. See you later. That's fine. You go find what sits better with you and how you want to work. So it's kind of, that was probably the biggest fear, and the biggest thing to work through was that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll still hit you even in a few years' time when you think, oh, they definitely will coach this person, and then they say, no, you're not for me.
Yeah.
Still hits you there.
It does, eh? And it's a harder one to let go, I think, because you feel like you could give them the best of what they want.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just not meant to be.
Yeah. And I think the nice part for you as well is you've had a few different clients, actually. So your, if you like, repertoire of who you can coach has grown massively in this first year. So that makes it a bit easier if you do have a conversation like that you know that, okay, I have a few different avatars that I can help. So just you saying no doesn't mean everybody like you will say no. And what, one of them has been, I'm thinking of a name, Ashley, in New York.
Yeah.
For you coached here towards New York Marathon.
Absolutely.
Which is huge. And that was, for me, if it was looking at you, that was a big highlight for me, because it's very hard to coach someone remotely. You're in different time zones completely.
Yeah.
And very busy job, busy lifestyle. And she, was it her first marathon?
First marathon ever.
Yeah. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And she smashed it. Like, she came on as a community member and was like, right, we talked in maybe like April or March, and she's like, I'm going to start here because I need to start with 2 to 3 runs a week, as well as my strength that I'm already doing. And then we'll build into the one-to-one coaching, and then we'll do that block. And then after the marathon, I'll go back to community so I can maintain that and then bring in other parts of what I'd like to do in terms of strength or F45 or whatever it was. So, and in that time, she had a lot on. She traveled probably about 4 or 5 times. Her work schedule was different each week. So not only was it overseas and trying to connect that way, but it was trying to work around a very different timetable. Nothing was set in stone each week. We really had to do a whole lot of moving parts and Tetris. And I think that's what was so cool, was that we could work together, because it requires that, to make the best plan for her and get her to where she wanted to be. And yeah, she was pretty stoked with how she did. Yeah.
It took some insane listening skills on your part, which isn't just listening through your ears, but, you know, remember looking at different comments and different ways that she'd responded to things. And that's all part of listening as well. And I think that's the huge power of one-to-one coaching is, you know, if you're just dragging and dropping in plans and not listening to what the feedback is or listening to what the data is telling you, the drag and drop plan won't do anything for you. It's the coach's job to go in and change things as it plays out. And yeah, it was very cool to see that happen. And every time we chat about it, you start smiling again.
Yeah.
I knew you loved
it. I think that was very much a highlight as well. And you're right there with one-on-one coaching. I think that's the hardest part to explain to people is how insightful, I'm not sure if that's really the right word, but we go into all areas of your life and the athlete's life to really help them maximize their training. And yeah, you're not going to get anything from a copy and paste kind of plan and training peaks or on paper or anything like that. That's going to be able to help you as much as we can as humans.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the athlete has to be as willing to be as coachable as the coach wants to be able to coach, yeah. Right? They have to match up.
Yeah.
Takes time sometimes. Not all has been as easy as yours in year one.
No. No. She can just be, we can call her the golden nugget.
True. You also kicked off what I would call your passion project, if you like, but your mum's run club.
Yeah.
Which, again, has been something that you just love to do, getting more mums out there running, building a community locally around you, but also remotely as well.
Yeah.
And that's a whole new learning avenue for you as well, right? Obviously, you're a new mum, but also a new coach and a new coach to coaching mums to run. Obviously, it's a bit more complicated than people getting into running. Postpartum running takes a few more health checks in there and a few more checkpoints along the way. But you seem to have managed it really well. Why don't you tell us, I know you've been on before and chat about it, but just remind us what the setup of that looks like.
The setup of that looks like it's happening termly. So it happens within the school terms so that especially if the mums have older children, then they can work in that time and then they can go away on holiday and not lose that connection time with me as a coach. We do 2 in-person sessions and then they get an extra 3rd session to do themselves at home, so that allows for their flexibility in terms of working around children and husbands and probably dogs in there as well, knowing my mums that I had last block. And one in-person session is purely based on strength, and it's based on working on really specifically at the start our core and connecting our mind to our body again, because you lose that quite a lot when you are pregnant and then give birth. So it's kind of connecting that back together using a lot of breath and just getting functional again with our bodies. And then we have a 2nd in-person session where it is running, and it just starts off really slowly and we just really slowly progress into running a little bit longer and resting a little bit shorter for them to be able to walk away at the end of the block and be able to go, cool, I can run 5Ks, comfortable. I'm not going to pee myself. I feel good doing it. I want to wake up in the morning, send the husband off to work, drop the kid off to the grandparents and go for a run, or chuck the kid in the pram, go for a run. So it's just about getting mums back into exercise. It doesn't necessarily have to be running, but we are focused on running and doing it confidently and in a nice environment with a group of mums. The babes hang out together. I think one of my mums said that she thinks that her baby enjoyed the sessions more than she did because the baby just sat there and socialised with the other ones.
Yeah, huge part of it. So it's probably fit for someone who is even doesn't want to get into running, but maybe they're coming back and want to play a sport that involves running, hockey, your rugby, tennis, things like that. It's probably worthwhile to go through a couple of terms to learn everything that you're teaching.
Yes, and even if they're wanting to go back into a HIIT gym,
yeah,
you know, you're getting your cardio base, you've got your aerobic system sorted, you've got that more basic strength mind-body connection going, then you can go back and do your high-intensive jumps and skips and everything like that, that a returning mum wouldn't be able to do that confidently. Yeah.
That's such a smart way to build back to that.
Yeah.
Really, really smart. Excellent. So you've got obviously one-to-one clients, you have the community that you've built, and then the Mum's Run Club as well, which is more than enough for a one-man band in New Zealand.
I don't do things by halves.
No. You've also, I think, in a great way, put a lot of time into yourself through this process and come up with some purposes and values of how you want to coach in a fight New Zealand. You want to talk to us a bit about those?
I think the main thing with that comes back to what I said about community in my highlights, is that it's about growing as individuals together so that there's support in place, but also encouragement to help you push past those perceived limitations that you might have in your running. I have people who are coming to me who are beginner runners, and they're just wanting to enjoy running. And then I have people coming to me who are wanting to, you know, get a sub-3 marathon time. So it's a wide variety of people that are coming here. And I think my purpose and my values come down to how can I help the individual person or athlete be the best version of themselves. And we quite like to say that when we do something in our program that maybe was really hard or we didn't quite hit the nail on the head, we say, that's okay, that session is done, how can we be better tomorrow?
Mm.
So I have some people that are working on waking up with their alarm in the morning and going for a run. That is a hard thing for people. It's a hard thing to do. So it's helping with those daily habits and a lot of mindset set shifting as well. Just wanting people to know that they can improve really little small things, and they're going to feel a lot better overall as a person. So it's that holistic approach rather than just go, cool, you want to come running? Come join us here at this time and we'll run at this pace.
Yeah. And that's your superpower as a coach. You really understand that level of person, and the empathy you have for that level as well is unreal. And that's what will make sure that you keep getting the most out of the people in your community.
Yeah. It's what fuels me.
yeah, it's you. It is you, right?
That's
the main thing. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. How do people get involved in what you're doing over there? I think we've talked about it before, but it's never a bad time to remind people how to come along and get involved. And I know you've got some build-up events coming up as well, and you're doing your own special Into the Darkness New Zealand style.
Yeah. Rude not to. I really had to hold myself back to not do it in 2023. So we're doing it this year. People can email me at zp@innerfight.com. They can hit me up at Inner Fight Endurance New Zealand on Instagram. They can find my personal page, Zoe Van Portucker, on Instagram. They can find us, Inner Fight Endurance New Zealand, on Facebook, on Google. They can find me on the main innerfight.com website. I'm everywhere. Or they can show up. So I think the best way into the community to see what we're about without having to commit to anything or just to get a feel for it is our Sunrise Run Club on Fridays. So we call it Sunrise Coffee Run. We meet at 6 a.m. at the base of the mount. We go for a 3, a 5, or a 6K run, and then we have coffee afterwards. And that's the best way to connect with people in our community. One-on-one athletes come, community athletes come, and people who we say are friends of Inner Fight come because they just want to come for one run a week and do something nice and easy. They might be CrossFitters or do a whole lot of other sports, but they want that connection with a run community. So that's how they can find us there.
Beautiful. Definitely, yeah. If you're in your area. What, for people who don't know, what area of New Zealand are you in?
We are in Tauranga, which is the Bay of Plenty, which is about a 2-hour drive south into the east of Auckland. That is us.
There you go.
Yeah.
I always say Taupo, but it's not Taupo, is it?
No, that's Ironman. That's why you've got that in your head.
Yeah.
Taupo is about 2 hours south from us.
Yeah, I'm well out.
Tauranga. Well out, but hey, that's right. Yeah, Tauranga.
Yeah. And I hope you're ready, because next year I have a client doing coast to coast.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, so I'll be sending him your way when it comes to time to get over.
Amazing. Yeah,
red chinos on. You'll love it.
I'll have to be support crew.
Yes. Yes. Lend him a kayak as well, if you wouldn't mind.
No, oh, I don't have one of them. They're too fancy. Too much for me.
Got a year to find one. It's okay.
I'll give you contacts.
Awesome. So just tell us as well, you've got build-up events coming up.
Yes.
For your listeners over there in New Zealand. What are the build-up runs? Where are they?
We have Tarawera Ultra, which is on the 17th of Feb, which is almost exactly a month to the day. That is 21Ks, 50Ks, 100K, and a 100 miler. So we have athletes doing the 50Ks and 21K. And we are also doing a group trail run on the 3rd of February around that loop if anyone wants to join us. Other big ones.
And that's anyone doing the race, right? Not just anyone, yeah.
Anyone can come join us for our trail group runs. It's the best, another good way to come and join us and see what we're all about. And quite a few people have come and joined group runs and then jumped into the Inner Fight community from there, which is pretty cool. We have our big main events will then be Taupo 50, which is later on in the year, about October. And then we'll go back to the Wild in Arrowtown, which we did this December. We'll be heading back there this December this year. And then our Midnight Marathon for Into the Darkness will be in June. Watch this space.
Okay. But it's going to be a marathon at midnight.
A marathon going into midnight. So we're going to start about 8:30, go into midnight.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Good. Then you need to build a 50K loop out there. And you can join the 50-50-50 bus.
Yes, I do. There'll be a lot of going over bridges for that one.
Yeah. We'll see. Good. Zoe, thank you for coming on and just sharing how last year went and what to look forward to here in 2024. Well, not here, over there with you, New Zealand.
Yeah.
If you do want to get in touch, easiest way is zp@innerfight.com.
Boom.
Done. Zoe, thank you. Get you back on the show soon.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah.